I'm your host, Neil Howard, here on Health Professional Radio. Thank you so much for joining us again. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Steve Kanes and Dr. Jim Dougherty. They're both joining us here on Health Professional Radio to talk about three clinical trials in brief. Welcome to Health Professional Radio, both Dr. Kanes and Dr. Dougherty. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be with you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you both. Briefly, Dr. Kanes, give our listeners a bit of your background, and if you would do the same, Dr. Dougherty.
Sure. Well, I am a psychiatrist. I have a medical degree as well as a PhD in psychopharmacology. And I've been in the industry of drug development over the last 15 years. Prior to that, I was a research physician at the University of Pennsylvania investigating the biology underlying psychiatric conditions.
And Jim?
And I am a neuroscientist by training. I've been working in neurobiology for my entire research career, first on the academic side, and then for almost 20 years now working in drug development, so both on the discovery side as well as drug development side.
Now, what exactly is it that Sage Therapeutics is mainly involved in?
So I'll take that one. Sage Therapeutics is a brain health company, and when we say that, what we mean is that we're developing treatments for a broad variety of disorders that affect the nervous system. And that could range anything from mental health disorders like depression all the way through to neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or Huntington's disease. This is an area where there's an enormous amount of unmet need, and while these are some of the most common disorders that people experience, there are areas that are absolutely ripe for innovation, new approaches, new treatments, and new medicines that would really potentially impact patients' lives.
Now, we said we were going to speak in brief about three clinical trials that Sage is conducting right now. What are those three trials?
Well, there are three studies, and I'll touch on them briefly. There are three studies that are ongoing within our zuranolone program specifically for depression. Those studies are for major depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. Another is for adjunctive treatment in major depression. In other words, zuranolone added to other antidepressants. And a third is in postpartum depression. These are all for one of our medicines. There are actually two other programs that are ongoing as well. One is for essential tremor, a very common movement disorder. And the third is for cognition, meaning the ability to both plan and execute complex activities. So we actually have three separate programs, one of which is furthest along in development for various aspects of depression.
Are the cognition, are those associated with Alzheimer's in any type of way or any other type of brain disorder?
Yeah, so those, when we think about brain health, we think about what aspects can our biology affect. So what we've noticed with SAGE-718, that's the drug for cognition, it affects a very specific part of cognition, which is the ability, we call it executive function, the ability to plan and execute complex activities. And what we've seen so far is that in Huntington's disease, as well as in healthy volunteers, some very unique findings. And I'll actually ask Jim to comment on those, because I think this is a really exciting part that we have going on at Sage.
Great, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, so I think to answer your question, we are interested in improving cognitive performance in multiple different ways. Fascinating space. I think we all understand when we say impaired cognitive performance in general what that means. But of course, cognition is very complex. It can range from things like short-term working memory, which folks with a lot of neurodegenerative disorders, Alzheimer's disease or disorders like that, we're used to thinking about it. But as Steve says, another aspect of cognition is executive function, the ability to plan, the ability to put together a sequence of activities to do lots of things in daily life. Obviously, either of those systems, if they're impaired, can be devastating to patients. We take the approach at Sage of starting from a couple of key brain targets. And so almost all of our programs are either targeted to the GABA receptor, and we can talk about things like that for depression. But in this case, we're talking about targeting the NMDA receptor system. It is a brain receptor that's known to be very much involved in things like synaptic plasticity, learning, and memory. So it's been a hypothesis for a long time that if you could safely modulate the NMDA receptor system, you could have an impact in therapeutic benefits for things like executive function. So that's really what we've been testing. Our lead asset, SAGE-718 is an NMDA receptor positive allosteric modulator, means it turns up NMDA receptor function, but importantly, only moderately. And what we've done, the drug is currently in phase two of clinical development. In our phase one work, we take a very serious translational approach to the way we do things. And in this particular case, what that means is, even at the earliest stages in phase one, looking at showing whether or not SAGE-718 could have benefits in improving cognitive performance. And so we started with healthy volunteers. Of course, the main role for phase one studies is in safety and tolerability, pharmacokinetics, and things like that. But we were able to put some cognitive testing. Folks would do this on an iPad, a bunch of different tests that have been validated, and looking to see whether or not the drug had any impact on various aspects of cognition. And what we learned is that executive function, we were seeing effects improvements, even in healthy volunteers, at a relatively early stage. So we followed that up with a very small open label cohort of patients with Huntington's disease. If you're interested, we can talk about why we chose HD patients. But the very interesting thing was that we saw the same improvements in executive function in the Huntington's patients in this early part of the disease where it's known that they have deficits in executive function. So we're very excited about the possibility of treating Huntington's patients. But to your earlier point, we think there are opportunities in other patient populations as well.
You spoke of a healthy population that was participating in the trials. When you say healthy, how healthy? I guess I'm asking as far as the level of cognitive degeneration.
Yeah, so, you know, these are just volunteers. And so, you know, that it's sort of just regular folks. So it is of interest that we're seeing improvements even in those patients, in those populations of healthy volunteers. But, you know, at this point, our focus is on the Huntington's patients as well as various neurodegenerative disorders.
Were there any age variation, any age factors that were noted?
No, of course, in these studies, that's certainly not something that we're necessarily planning for. It is, in general, a younger population for the most part. Steve, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'd say, and Jim touched on this, one of the things we do very early on, it's because we're really establishing new science, new mechanisms of action, is for these early studies, really look to identify a signal. It's an area where we may be able to identify the drug is doing what we're expecting it to, and then using that to explore further. So those first studies that Jim is referring to are really to establish that our underlying understanding of the system is working, and then we'll move forward to really identify the patient populations as well as to more fully build out our development program. So these are the first steps in entirely new areas of science.
Well, we'd like to learn some more about these trials and about Sage Therapeutics. Where can we go online and get some more information?
Probably the best place to go is our website, which is www.sagerx.com. It has links to all of the ongoing clinical trials. Typically, those will link to clinicaltrials.gov, where the studies themselves will be listed. Another way to look at it is our publications. So we've had some fairly high-profile publications related to our zuranolone program, most recent of which was in the New England Journal of Medicine, which details the results of our phase two program in major depressive disorder. So those are really good places to look, both about our most advanced program as well as to understand our approach to developing new medicines.
Well, I appreciate you both joining us here on Health Professional Radio, Dr. Kanes and Dr. Dougherty.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard. Audio copies of this program are available at hpr.fm and healthprofessionalradio.com.au. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, listen in, download at SoundCloud, and be sure and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/healthprofessionalradio.